Inner Yud, Eichel Yashvach HaVatel HaSasharon, was written by Rabbi Eliezer HaKalier. It goes according to Aleph Beis. Each stanza starts with the first word of the first word of the corresponding pasuk in the first parak of Eichel. So it goes through the entire parak, starting with the first word for each stanza. Rather than go through the various stanzas, I'd like to concentrate on one particular one, which I found the most disturbing. The Kina is really focused on the 24 Mishmeros Kehuna, on how each one faltered and each one was destroyed, and where each one lived, what place it lived. The second stanza, which I personally find the most disturbing, B'chosiv kem mechumeshes sforim, Kinera koin v'novi b'yom ha'kipurim, Maldamu nishchatu parachim kitzfirim, V'nodu kitziporim kvani ziporim. This is talking about the very tragic murder of Zechariah. This is not Zechariah as in Chagi Zechariah Malachi, that was Zechariah ben Berechia. This is Zechariah ben Yehoyada, who lived several hundred years prior. And at the behest of King Yoshia, he was basically stoned in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, on Shabbos, because he was giving a nevuah which was foretelling the Chorban Bayis and trying to get the people to do tshuva. And that was something that was unnerving. However, in order to understand why this was of course a great tragedy, but why it was so particularly disturbing, I have to give you a little historical background on who Yoshia was and who this Zechariah was and the relationship between them. When Ahaziah Melech Yehuda died, his mother, Asaliah, killed all of her grandchildren in order to usurp the throne, which she in fact did for 6 years. She was the queen, I guess, of Malchus Yehuda. There was one exception. Ahaziah's sister Yehosheba hid this little boy Yoshia, who was basically a newborn, and Chazal tell us she hid him actually in the Beis HaMikdash. And she hid him there for 6 years. He was the only one that escaped his grandmother's grasp. It's really shocking to try to fathom how a grandmother can kill her own grandchildren in order to seize power. But that's what happened. It was unbelievable. After Yoshia was in the Beis HaMikdash for 6 years, so the Kohen, I'm not sure if it was a Kohen Gadol, but he might have been, was Yehoyada. His name was Yehoyada. And in an incredibly daring and courageous act, had anything slipped up, it would have meant his summary execution at the hands of Asaliah. But he enlisted all of the Kohanim and all of the Levium to provide an armed guard around this Yoshia, who was now 7 years old, and he brought him out of hiding, and the entire nation basically, or the vast majority of it, supported him and announced that he was going to be king. And at the same time, he executed Asaliah. And as long as Yehoyada was alive, Yoshia was a tzaddik. When Yehoyada died, he started to sour. He started to sour to the point where Zechariah, who was the son of this Yehoyada, he was Zechariah ben Yehoyada, was killed at the behest of Yoshia without his remembering, as the Pasuk says, without his even remembering that he's the son of the man who saved his life, and put him on the throne. And he just displayed this incredible callousness, which apparently he inherited from his grandmother, but it was unbelievable. How this is something that's happening to us from within. I find this extremely disturbing. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that 250 years later, after this murder happened, when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Yerushalayim, so Nebuzaradan came to the Beis HaMikdash, and the blood of Zechariah had been boiling for 250 years. He sees this blood boiling on the floor, and he asks him, "What is this?" It was a very strange sight. He asks the Kohanim, and the Kohanim respond, they're afraid to tell him the truth. So they tell him, "Sudam of Korbanos." But he doesn't believe them. He says, "Go bring me some animals so we can shecht and see if it's comparable, the blood that is here and the blood that's going to come out of them." And it was not. And he said, "If you don't tell me the truth, I'm going to kill you." Yeah, actually, he said, "If you don't tell me the truth, I'm going to comb your skin with metal combs." And so they told him what happened. And Nebuzaradan then says, "I am going to avenge Zechariah's blood." And he starts killing all the Zekanim. And then he starts killing all the children. And then he starts killing the Kohanim. And the Gemara says he killed 940,000 people. And the blood was still boiling. And Nebuzaradan looks up to heaven and he says, "Zechariah, do you want me to kill everybody?" And the blood stops boiling. So, first of all, it's incredible that this Nebuzaradan, I mean, if you take the Gemara's numbers literally, he was exponentially more efficient than even Hitler, Yimach Shmo v'Zichro, without anywhere near the technology. What was going on here? Did Zechariah really want 940,000 Jews killed who had nothing to do with his death? This is 250 years later. And what happened when he asked, "Zechariah, do you want me to kill them all?" And all of a sudden the blood stops boiling? What happened? So what I think happened, excuse me please, what I think happened is that Nebuzaradan was the first person in 250 years who actually removed or started to remove the callousness that he was feeling. Here was Nebuzaradan, a hardened murderer. His job was, he was the chief executioner of Nebuchadnezzar. That was his title. That's what he did all day. And he did it well, apparently. And all of a sudden, it bothers him that he's killing too many people. Something hit a nerve. Not only did something hit a nerve, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us as a result of this story, this competitor of Hitler, Yimach Shmo, ran away and became a Ger Tzedek. Which means there was a Beis Din, there was a Mekabel him as a Ger Tzedek. It's just astounding that a person can totally turn around just by removing a little bit of the callousness that he's feeling. In Yechezkel, in Perek Chaf, there's two psukim. It's talking about what went on in Mitzrayim before we had Yitzias Mitzrayim. It says, Omar Alein Ish, Yikutzei Einav, Hashlichu, Ligulei Mitzrayim, Al Titamu, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Rashi explains this was actually a nevuah that Aaron had in Mitzrayim before Moshe came to the snap. Aaron was a Navi before Moshe was a Navi. And Aaron was exhorting the people at the behest of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Get rid of all your idols. Get rid of your Avodah Zarah." And then the next pasuk goes on to say, "Vayamru bi," and they rebelled against me, referring to the Jews in Mitzrayim. This is all before Yitzias Mitzrayim. They didn't want to listen to me. They didn't get rid of the Avodah Zarah. They didn't leave all the things they were worshipping in Mitzrayim. And I therefore said to spill my anger on them in Mitzrayim. And Rashi says this was why 80% of the Jews were killed in Machas Choshech, because of this Nevuah and because of what happened here. But if you read the Pasuk, it appears to be in reverse order. It says, Vayamru bi, they rebelled against me, v'lo avalu shmoa, and they didn't want to listen to me. It should be the opposite. First they didn't want to listen to me, and then they rebelled against me. That's the way things happen. They progress in that order. So it doesn't say that they didn't listen to me. It says they didn't want to listen to me. Had they rebelled against me, but they wouldn't have insulated themselves with this artificial callousness so that they couldn't be affected, then you would have been saved. It was because they didn't want to listen to me. They insisted on being callous. They insisted on being insulated and not being affected. And that's why it brought the downfall, which I think is probably the source of what went on in both Batei Mikdash, that we refused to be sensitized to what was going on. We insisted on being numb. And that, I think, is why it says, Kol Masabel al Yerushalayim Zoch Averoah B'Simchasa, V'She'eno Masabel al Yerushalayim Ein Averoah B'Simchasa. All that have pain and mourning over the destruction of Yerushalayim, Sulebi Zoch Averoah B'Simchasa. But the ones that don't, won't. And I think the reason is because when you have a callus on your skin, you're not capable of feeling pain or pleasure in that spot. It's only when you remove the callus and you can actually feel the pain that can you actually feel the pleasure.